We are back. Welcome back. Or if you're just joining us, welcome to it. 7:10 here on a Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you. Glad you are along. Hope you're having a good start to the day, that the days that are all blending into each other. You need a piece of good news. We all need some good news. How about today, finally? Finally, today is the last month of March, which seems like it's gone on. It's only 31 days. March seems like it's gone on for, what, about 800 days? Something like that. Longest days. Maybe the month of April. Well, it's one day shorter on the calendar, so maybe it'll feel a whole lot shorter. Maybe we'll just get used to the lives that we're living right now. But for the foreseeable future, things continue as is. But yeah, we're here in the month of March. And by the way, we'll celebrate some hockey birthdays, Simmer, a little later on this morning.
Yeah.
I will not be quizzing you guys with various hints as to who the highest scoring player born on this day.
Because no, we got to play this game.
It's a rather short list of clues I would have to give you before you would get the answer of Gordie Howe.
Oh,
celebrating
nice.
A birthday today. The late Gordie Howe would have celebrated his 92nd birthday today.
Yeah, an amazing career legacy created for him. And you talked about the month of March. I guess for anybody that lived through the World Wars, it is the time that the world stood still, right? I mean, that's the difference of nothing that I could relate to in my lifetime of slow, whatever you want to call it. This isn't about Canada. This isn't about Ottawa. This is the entire world. And of course, for our world, including the world of sports.
Yeah. Did you meet Gordie Howe many times?
Not many times, but we honored him in D.C. back in the day where he did a tour. His wife, is it Colleen?
Yes.
Colleen was very involved behind the scenes of, there was a really feeling for Gordie Howe that she wanted to make sure that he was respected by the league, that of course he had gone away and played in the WHA, had retired. And I'd call it a little bit of the Gretzky effect. So each team pressured would be strong, but it would bring him in. He was honored. They do some different things with his number. That was the only time I ever met him. Spent a lot of time with Mark Howe, who has been a longtime scout with the Philadelphia Flyers, a pro scout, one hell of a hockey player and one hell of a guy. So a lot more time with Mark, but met Gordie one time way back in the day.
Gordie Howe, 1,767 career games in the NHL, by the way, of course, played in the WHA as well.
Yeah.
1,851 career points. Hard to believe that Wayne Gretzky, of course, and it was a very famous moment when he passed Gordie Howe as the greatest scorer in history, scored about 1,000 more points than Gordie Howe did. Like, sometimes you just got to stop and go, you know, and we're here to celebrate Gordie, or what would have been Gordie Howe's birthday, but to end up talking about Wayne Gretzky. But sometimes you just stop and you think about the numbers that Gretzky was able to put up, because that's a legendary and one of the greatest careers in hockey history that Gordie Howe put up, and Wayne Gretzky had 1,000 more points than him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And to Gretzky, you could say higher scoring, but you're right. When you still look back on it, it's incredible. Now, Wayne Gretzky has more assists than anybody's ever had points in the NHL.
That's right.
Is that correct? So
yes.
That, to me, I like that stat. And then the other one was even 5 years ago, thinking about Alexander Ovechkin age and the chasing down the goals. What effect will this have on the world? And also, you think at Ovi at his age, if you start trying to condense seasons, you start trying to condense playoffs and roll out a new year, I would think at, what, a 34-year-old, that will start to have some effect. And that was the effect with Wayne Gretzky. Anybody that watched him at his time in L.A. when he first got there was still very good. Then you just started to see the wear and tear of a guy that had played a lot of hockey, a lot of short off seasons, playing in, well, Olympics later in the career, but lots of Canada Cups. And really, if you watch him in L.A. and that kind of part, then to St. Louis to New York, he was just a shell of himself physically.
Right.
And even going to watch some of the games, there were such expectations. But he turned into, as a good friend once said, he kind of hide behind the net as the play was leaving with the hope that the puck would get turned back over. He'd do a little bit on the power play. And I can still remember him coming to the old Cap Center and getting interviewed. And just his body language, because you had an understanding for him. It wasn't just the grind of, and this is part of the responsibility he felt physically, but he knew that everybody that came to the game came to see him play. And all the other responsibilities that came with interviews and stuff like that, like his energy level would be low. Not that he was mad, but he was just like, hey, he understood what he had to do and never shucked there, went away from that responsibility. And that was a real grind for him.
Gordie Howe, by the way, celebrating a birthday today, one of 30 NHLers celebrating a birthday today. Here's a crazy stat, and there aren't, what are there, just over 300 Hall of Famers somewhere around there?
Is that what it is? Yeah. I have no idea.
Something like that. Yeah. How about three of them being born, excuse me, being born on this day, March the 31st, Gordie Howe being one.
Yeah.
Bob Pulford, who was with the Toronto Maple Leafs the last time they won the Cup. I don't know if anybody remembers. The last time the Leafs won the Cup was 1967.
Yeah.
Okay, Bob Pulford was a member of that team, of course, longtime executive with the Chicago Blackhawks, also celebrating a birthday today, and is a Hockey Hall of Famer, as is Pavel Bure.
Oh, nice.
The Russian Rocket, 702 career games, 437 goals. Were you, in terms of Pavel Bure, Hall of Fame? I mean, not 500 goals. You know, but that more speaking to the fact he just didn't play a lot of games at the end of the day. In your estimation, was Pavel Bure a for sure Hall of Famer?
No, and we had my buddy Theo Fleury on last week. If I want to compare careers, give me a break. I mean, Theo, first of all, should be in there for everything he overcame. Pavel, Hall of Fame talent, first time watched him was on TV, and it was the World Junior in Alaska. He was on a line with McGillney and Fedorov. Not bad. and also, to both of those, to he and Bob Pulford, great draft story. Back in the day when Bure got drafted by Vancouver, there were eligibility rules on X amount of games you had to play. And Washington at the time, Jack Button and David Boyle, had protested that he was not eligible for the draft. And somehow Mike Petty, who was running the draft for Vancouver, came up with a very mysterious piece of paper from Russia that made him eligible. And that was always kind of a running story or running joke. And as far as Bob Pulford, all I ever think of is that was a go-to for Larry Kelly, that your career was over if he was calling Bob Pulford for a tryout. And I always think of Jimmy Ralph stories, right? Ralphie has the best Bob Pulford stories and imitation. And also as far as connections, Bob Pulford, of course, is the father-in-law for Dean Lombardi, of course, who's a general manager for the LA Kings.
All right. All right. All good stuff. So we'll celebrate some hockey birthdays throughout the rest of the morning, including, let's see, I got one, two, three, four with Ottawa connections, either Senators, guys played for the Senators, or guys who are from Ottawa, including, well, I'll squeeze one more in because he may be listening right now.
Yeah.
Happy 37th birthday to Brendan Bell.
Nice.
Today, by the way.
Yeah, and until, what, last year at the trade deadline, I had forgotten I was part of trading him, trading from Toronto to Arizona.
He reminded you of that?
No, I think Ian had brought it up and had no recollection, so had gone to the Leafs. I did in 04, and of course he was coming through as a much heralded player. Was playing in St. John's at the time for Dougie Shedden. One hell of a talent and a very classy guy.
All right, so Pierre McGuire will join us. We'll talk some hockey with Pierre coming up in about an hour from now. And then after 9, we're going to talk NFL with Jason Lacanfora, your old buddy Simmer, CBS NFL insider. We'll talk some NFL draft, but just everything that's going on with the league right now and what the reaction is, I think, regarding the NFL still going about a lot of its business in the midst of what all is going on in, around the world, but specifically in the United States right now. And so I'm sure Jason's got a daily sports show as well down in Baltimore, right? Yeah. So I'm sure there's lots to talk about that.
Yeah, there is. And you're right, because, hey, again, this isn't pretend with Canada and we don't have the issues and we're certainly having deaths. But when I see in the United States, first of all, New York, and I kind of look at that corridor from Boston to New York to Philly all the way down to Baltimore and D.C., how this is going to start to hit. I wonder what the NFL will do. They've got their headquarters there. And the case of a place like Baltimore, I think of it is one of the more impoverished cities that you think about. And if this does hit, as far as the medical care, it might not get the same media attention, but Jason's right in the storm there. So I think for a lot of people, they're balancing, like all of us, a little bit of fantasy, which is sports right now, and a whole lot of reality.
All right, so we'll talk to him about 9:30, Jason Lacanfora, and right after 9 o'clock, TSN's Director of Scouting, Craig Button, is out with his latest Craigslist, his ranking of the, and we're trying to figure it out, and if anybody's got an idea of why Craigslist is 103 names long, any guesses? I don't think he alludes to it in his preamble ahead of his list.
Yeah.
I tried to, I was just kind of scrolling, I wonder how many names he's got in the list here. I expected 62. For two rounds, and then it went in and passed that, and I go, I guess it's 93.
Yeah.
And then it kept going past 93 and got to 103 for some reason. Yeah. So I don't know why. I've done the math. 31 teams times three rounds is 93. That's not 103, so maybe there's some bonus selections in there, or maybe he just decided to keep it. Just got tired and just decided to turn in his paper at 103.
He did not finish it, the editing. All of a sudden that appeared. Yeah, as you say, is that the bonus 10? Now, for most teams, games, and especially the way it lays out right now, if you're going to have the first round, you'll have your big card, and realistically, are you preparing for all seven rounds? Of course you are, but more importantly, going into that first night is, hey, where are we picking? What is it looking like? And even if a trade comes up where you're moving up, make sure you're prepped for that first round. And I know there's 31 teams, which is a lot when you look at the cross-section of players. But when you get out of the top 10 and as far as the order, and every draft is obviously a little bit different, but when you get picks 11 to 31, the variation on the 31 list is incredible. And realistically, even if you were picking 31st, pretty good chance if you had a list of 15 players that one of the 15, or certainly in the bottom part, is going to be your player. So that's the neat part when you go through these lists is what, you know, if you could ever get a hold of it, it would be pretty cool to do a cross-reference of all 31 teams.
Yeah. Any memories of being at a draft table where, you know, you're with the Caps and a guy fell just way beyond where you guys may have, like maybe you ranked a guy way higher than anybody else did, or a guy... Just a guy who most people thought would fall for whatever reason. We see guys fall.
Yeah.
Any memories of any one name in particular?
Remember being at the draft a couple of times, more sitting around. One was Jim Carrey, the goaltender we drafted. Following year would have been Jason Allison to Brendan Witt. Matt Pettinger is another name. I'm just trying to go through a player that I loved when I went to watch Alexander Volchov back in the day was Yanni Bulis. So there were always guys, but not, you know, not necessarily falling, more concerns, more fun stories about you're sitting there and praying that that one player that you're hoping for, that you want to get, is going to be there. And those are the ones that are tough sometimes, and you have to be prepared, but there's certainly times where that guy you really wanted, and think about how emotional Tim Murray was back in the day when he lost Connor McDavid, had to take a guy like Eichel. There's lots of those feelings at tables where that guy just at the last minute is gone, or a team steps up and grabs him.
All right, so just to bring everybody up to date on Craig's list, and I know there's a million lists out there, and people have all kinds of time on their hands and doing a lot of their own scouting and coming up, and that's part of the fun is coming up with your own list and hot-stoving, etc. But Craig is a guy who we talked to several times throughout the year because he sees all these kids. He sees them as 17-year-olds at the U17. He sees them and goes and sees them play himself. So this isn't sort of YouTube scouting. And then U18s in the summer, he's always at that tournament, right? The Hlinka tournament. And then, of course, World Juniors, he's there every year as well. So his list, just to bring you up to date, no surprise, Alexis Lafreniere remains number one, has been number one all season. The German, Tim Stützle, comes in at number two, ahead of Quinton Byfield, which is a flip. I'm looking at Craig's list from last fall, which I think was his first long list. At that point, Tim Stützle was number seven on his list. He's now number two. Quinton Byfield was number two. Then he is number three now. Cole Perfetti was number three in the fall. He kind of fell a little bit, comes back up. He ends up being the number four ranker in Craig's list that came out yesterday. Cole Perfetti of the Saginaw Spirit, who we saw here in, at least I got a chance to see him play here in Ottawa. And, everybody says how deep this draft is. He's a terrific-looking prospect. Jamie Drysdale, the defenseman we saw at the World Juniors from the Erie Otters, he comes in at number five. We'll get to number six in just a second. Number seven is the Russian goalie, Askarov. Number eight, we'll get to in just a second. Six and eight, both Ottawa 67 connections. Number nine is Swedish winger Lucas Raymond, who's always been in the top 10 all year. And number 10, another local product, Hendrix Lapierre from Gatineau, who's missed most of the season with concussion issues. Craig Button calls him the best two-way player in the draft. He's a total wild card, given his medical history at this point. So he could be a guy that maybe goes where Craig's got him, because that's where Craig's, Craig puts him there because that's where his talent says he should be.
Sure.
But the concussion, just for some teams, may take him right out of the first round. For others, it may be, well, we'll take if you're a late first round pick, we'll take a flyer on him. Or maybe a team looks at him and goes, this guy's got terrific talent. We've seen other players, Sidney Crosby, you brought him up in the first hour, being an example of, you know, concussions are part of the game. It's unfortunate. Yeah. People get them, but people can recover from them as well and go on to long careers. So there may be teams that not necessarily look past it, but will look at it, discuss the pros and the cons to it, and may decide to pick him right where Craig's list says his talent should say he should get drafted.
Yeah, and the internal pressure for me, and I put a little thing out on Twitter and tagged you guys, just a fun, basically the bottom 10 teams ranking, Craig's top 15, and of course you look at Lapierre and you end up looking to the Montreal Canadiens picking eight. And in the case of that, you do your homework, you want to make a great pick, And I won't say again, this is always the case, but there are a lot of teams, and of course, Otto even more so with three first-round picks. If I'm sitting on multiple first-round picks, and I would say after the first 15 to 20, and you've done your homework, you've already made one pick, I look at a guy like this and you say, you know what, we feel like the upside is there, but for a team that spent millions of dollars in scouting the entire year, to say, hey, you know what, we're going to take a flyer or take some risk on our singular first-round pick, which is so important, as we know, to NHL teams, that's a lot to ask. So you better be right on it, because this can't be one of those ones. I use the term flyer. I know what you're saying. It has to be a highly educated guess that you think this fellow is going to stay healthy.
Right, and I think there's a very good chance that he is going to fall a significant number based on that concussion history.
Absolutely.
That's going to scare some teams off. And if he falls and if he gets down to somewhere in the 20s, you have to wonder again, and I'm not saying that they would necessarily draft him because he's from Gatineau and across the river and everything, but the Ottawa Senators sitting with four second-round picks
sure.
Right? Package a couple of second-rounders to move into the late first, and boom, you've got yourself a fourth first-rounder and a guy whose talent says he should be top 10. As you said, it's a roll of the dice, but you've got three picks that you feel pretty good about in the bank already. When you've got, this is where all the extra picks coming in does help. You can afford, maybe you've got more of an option of taking a gamble on a guy than maybe, as you said, teams with singular picks have.
Yeah, you go back to 2011 in Ottawa with the second and third pick took Nason and Pumple, and both of those guys have some injury issues, especially Pumple. That was part of the logic, part of throwing a third round pick to Filatov. There's times. What I don't like, though, when it comes to asset management, I don't ever feel you have enough players and enough picks. Now, there's times where you switch out players and say, hey, flip a guy out to get picks for later where he doesn't fit into your system. But bad picks are bad picks. And for the Ottawa Senators where they are right now, they certainly have a nice group. They have a lot of quantity and some very good players. But we've all talked about they need some real quality in that top six of their forward group. And so this is why. And then, hey, for where they're probably going to pick, got a great chance to fill a couple of those spots.
All right. So we mentioned that picks 6 and 8 are the two Ottawa 67s. The order may surprise you a little bit, given the fact that for pretty much the entire year, Marco Rossi has been a top 10 player, or if not the top 10, just outside of the top 10, and certainly in the last couple of draft lists for a lot of people into the top 5. He ends up coming in at number 8, and number 6 ranked ahead of him is Ottawa 67's winger Jack Quinn, who had an unbelievable year this year, became the top goal scorer outside of Peterborough's Nick Robertson, who's already drafted in the entire CHL. He comes in at number 6. Craig Button answered some questions yesterday from on TSN hockey.ca that was out, that's posted on the TSN website, and did this NHL comparison for the 67's Jack Quinn.
Jack Quinn is the best goal scorer in this draft, but he's more than a goal scorer. When I've watched him play and I've watched his progression over the last 2 years, I see David Pastrnak. I see that ability to be elusive, to do things in so many different areas of the game, and not just score, but also make plays and be a dangerous player.
Wow. You want to talk about comparisons, and David Pastrnak ended up going, 25th overall to Boston a couple years ago?
Yeah, one hell of a pick from Boston.
You are talking right now, and Alexander Ovechkin, due to longevity and production, is the greatest goal scorer in the game But you could argue that Austin Matthews and David Pastrnak are number 1 and 1A right in behind him in terms of young players, the next Ovechkins.
Yeah.
We're talking about the greatest goal scorers in the game, and that's who Craig Button is comparing him to.
Yeah, and watched him place February 17th against London, put out a couple of scouting reports, and have to be honest, watching him, no surprise on what Craig came in with. I had ranked him as an easy top 6 forward. You'd have to go higher than that now for where he's ranked. But also, when you talk about those different players, and hey, Alexander Ovechkin, one of the greatest, if not greatest, goal scorer of all time. I don't want to say one-dimensional, but it's not the distribution. He's not the playmaker. Certainly Austin Matthews shows that. But the difference for David Pastrnak when he came into the league, I use the term, he can make something out of nothing. David Pastrnak doesn't necessarily have to have Marchand and Bergeron. Does it help? For sure it does. But that's the part when you watch a kid like Jack Quinn play. He is a highly intelligent, and this isn't about a guy standing around scoring goals. His upside is he matures physically, and you also look at kind of luck of the draft or unluck. Hey, here's a kid that's a late birthday, and if he was drafted a year ago, probably would have been a fifth or sixth round pick. It's amazing as you relate to that, and what I also relate to is he and O'Rossi, being 01 birth dates, are basically the same age as the first three picks from last year in Kakko, Hughes, and Dach. And so this is what you're trying to do if you're Craig Button in every team. You're trying to say basically between 23 and 25, as these guys all mature, everything we can control as far as development, who are going to be the best players. And that's where Craig's list comes from.
Yep. Craig's initial list from back in the fall, posted in late November, I'm just looking at it right now, had Jack Quinn ranked as the number 29 player. So a very late first round pick. And his this is his second to last one. He'll have another one before the draft. But with no more games being played anywhere, be hard pressed to think that how this list is going to change. If so, it'll be incremental. But 29-6, that's an incredible rise for Jack Quinn.
Yeah, and you know what? For Craig, as far as his information, first of all, incredible background. Father Jack, I worked for, so I started Central Scouting. His brother Todd, of course, has run the draft for Calgary the last 20 years. Now, I know Craig sees a lot of this, but it's also talking to people, gathering information, has an incredible network, and that's part of it. And as far as that list, and I had clicked out the top 15, the other player that was really on the rise that I had never heard of was Jeff Sanderson's son, Jake. That, to me, is another wild card of the draft, a 6'2 defenseman that can skate. So he and Quinn, I think, have been the two big movers of the list. So back to the fall.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, always good fodder. And I think for a lot of 67s fans, given how, you know, just the talk had gone for the entire season, that was a huge, huge surprise. And that list came out yesterday with Quinn ahead of Rossi. Where in your, man, you've gone to see them a couple of times. Who do you think's a better player, better prospect?
You know, I would take Rossi because I would take the centerman. You know what? But this is the thing, and this is even for Craig yesterday, some of the Yahoos that get on there. We can have debates at times, but let's take it back and say, okay, if you see somebody on the top 10 you think isn't an NHL player, that's fine. But when you start talking about also debate, okay, I take this guy maybe positionally, but also the upside. I mean, to that, Craig in the past has said that Byfield could be Malkin. Yesterday, he compared Rossi to Backstrom, and then you've got Pasternak. Well, you would probably like to have all three of those players on your team, would you not?
Yes.
You know, so that's a part of just sit down, you know, take a step back here. This doesn't mean anybody's a bad player. And hey, do people here in Ottawa, and when I hear Kenny talk about Rossi, well, you know, he loves him. He's watching him. He sees the passion. I can only imagine this fuels the fire for Rossi even a little bit more, right? Because this is your typical smaller player, which isn't as big a deal in today's National Hockey League, but still a discussion within war rooms. But you're looking at a list right there, and that's the excitement for the Ottawa Senators. When you break this list down, even if worst case scenario in the draft lottery as it sits today, you're going to end up with two excellent hockey players that are either going to be a top two defenseman or probably a top six forward.
Yeah, as it sits right now, and again, we don't even know the format of the draft lottery and how it's going to work, but if Ottawa stays at 2 and 3, they miss out on Lafreniere, who is, by all accounts, the best player in this draft. And according to Craig, him and maybe Stützle would be the only two players he foresees being able to step into the NHL and contribute next year. But Ottawa sits right now, if they stay at 2 and 3, do you go back-to-back with Stützle and Byfield and say, okay, I'm happy with that?
I'd be shocked if you would. Now, and I think I've asked you this before, and it's a fun discussion as well. Option is you can have Byfield and Stützle or Lafreniere and, say, one of the defensemen. What combination would you go with?
I think for Ottawa, and the way I look at the – and you should never – draft for need. I go with the centers. I really do. As much as I think Drysdale is going to be fantastic, I'm going for the. If I have the choice, I'm going for the two center. I think Lafreniere is a fantastic hockey player.
Yeah.
I don't see him as a generational player. I see him as, you know, he's going to be one of the top players in the league when he matures.
Yeah.
But I don't see him. Is he going to be so much better than anybody else coming out of this draft?
Yeah.
Again, I'm watching these kids at the World Juniors. That's the extent of what I know about them.
Well, yeah.
But, and he looks like a terrific player, but I don't see that huge difference.
No,
that for me is the difference.
No, and I totally agree, and this is the part of it, because it makes sense for Ottawa. He's a French-Canadian kid. He's going to come in and sell tickets. I don't think, as it sits today, anyone can say, because first of all, he's a year older than Byfield and Stützle. do we know at 25 that he's going to be better than both of those players? I don't. I would say that there's a chance all three of them will be excellent players. So I would certainly take Byfield and Stützle as well.
All right. Thoughts on anything that we discuss? Always welcome. You can text us at 12-1200. Standard messaging rates apply. Tweet at us at TSN1200. And, of course, we always keep the phone lines open for you at 750-1200. We'll talk more about it with Craig Button when he joins us live after 9 o'clock. And if you've got any questions on Craig's list or any prospects, by all means, text us. And we'll try and pass along a few of those as well when he joins us live. We'll take a break at 735. Get you the latest. We'll have a COVID-19 update for you and come back with much more as we roll on here. It is a Tuesday morning. Sun is kind of up behind the clouds in Sports Radio, TSN 1200. And there's a million great ideas that are out there in regarding the world we're living in right now. But there has been a lot of emphasis, and rightfully so, on saluting the frontline healthcare workers. Across the world, and I see various cities out in Vancouver. I know, I think it's 7 o'clock every night. People are encouraged to get out on their patios and their balconies and bang pots and pans together to salute healthcare workers. I think that's a great idea. I'd love to see something like that come to Ottawa as well. But there is something just posted to social media from a new group called Grocery Hero Canada. Anybody that is now ordering their food in, and if you've gone to the supermarket lately, you may have noticed there's a lot of people standing with these things that look like cell phones in their hands, and they're punching things out. And you're going, what exactly? Those are personal shoppers, because what a lot of people are doing right now is they're ordering their groceries to be delivered to them because they're being told to isolate, or because of their age or health conditions or whatever, they just don't want to go to the grocery store. So this is a service that's been around for a long time. But for the most part, people, you know, there's the odd people that take advantage of it, but most people like to do their own grocery shopping. Well, it used to be, before we got into the world we're living in right now, you could order something and it would be filled out within an hour. Now the wait is 4 to 5 days, believe it or not. So many people are taking advantage of what is a really good service. But for some people, and we're asking more and more of these people, frontline health people who are working tremendously long hours and, of course, are exposing themselves in many cases to this virus. And the last thing they want to do is they want to bring it home or bring it to very public places like grocery stores. So this Grocery Hero Canada, I think this is just a fantastic idea. They are essentially asking people to volunteer to go, and because the grocery stores themselves just don't have the manpower and the time to do it all themselves, they're asking people, volunteer people in the community who may have time to go out and basically fill out those lists. Go to the grocery store, fill out the list. Mm-hmm. I think that's a terrific idea. So I know they're on Facebook at Grocery Hero Canada. They posted on Twitter as well. But if you're looking for some small way that you can give back and say thanks to the people who are frontline people, I think this is a terrific idea that I just saw this morning for the first time.
Yeah, and totally agree. And city by city, just think of the stress. And we focus mostly on New York. But for the people that are working exhausted to have stuff like this, and we've also seen it for a lot of people on social media, volunteering in particular with the wave of people coming back from March break and spring break, families that had to isolate, obviously counting on neighbors. Now, neighbors are happy that they're staying in for the 14 days, but more than happy to help out. And as you said, that's a terrific initiative for any of the first responders.
Yeah. All right. 7:47. Pierre McGuire will join us in about 15 minutes or so. We'll talk some hockey with Pierre. Craig Button, we've been talking lots about that. He'll join us after 9, and we'll talk some NFL with Jason Lacanfora as well. Interesting. The NHL is doing what it can to kind of keep itself in the news by Zoom is this sort of virtual meeting place that I think a lot of families are using. I know our family used it, my extended family, last Saturday afternoon to kind of have a visit, see everybody. I got relatives and nieces and nephews and people living all over Canada and all over the world, and it's kind of neat to catch up that way. The NHL is using it as well. I think they've done this every day. They kind of go division by division. So last week, I think it started actually with the Atlantic Division, so they rolled through the four divisions. And now they're back with a new set of players starting yesterday, including Brady Tkachuk of the Ottawa Senators, who gave a very positive update, by the way, to the two players from the Sens who tested positive for COVID-19, said both are well on the road to recovery. So that's good news. But also they got into some fun stuff. Zdeno Chara, I think David Pastrnak, John Tavares were also all part of this Atlantic Division Zoom meeting yesterday. It took us a fun turn. Brady Tkachuk was asked, hey, if you had to be quarantined with one of your teammates, who would you want to be quarantined with? And he picked Thomas Chabot. So there you go. So there's good news. Now, then he was asked, who would you not want to be quarantined with?
I say the one guy wouldn't. I mean, it's probably Colin White. I mean, I'd probably just have steak and mashed potatoes for 2 weeks straight. So, no, he's a great guy to hang out with, but I don't think I could handle having steak and mashed potatoes for 2 weeks.
See, the downside would be, Simmer, you'd be having the same meal every single night with Colin White.
Yeah.
But listening to him talk and just the stuff that comes out of his mouth, that would be the entertainment part might be worth the fact you'd have the steak and potatoes every
night. Well, if you're a big fan of Fast Times at Ridgemont High, certainly Foley is high on the list. And the nice part about Brady Tkachuk right there is that I know it is little things, but it's delicate, right? Because generally you're going to be asked and they'll say, oh, God, this guy, he's lazy. And most hockey players aren't going to say, but he had fun with Colin White with nothing negative, just said he likes to have, you know, and to me that, for a young person, because as I said, your first is the favorite, and oh, I love Thomas, we're spending all this time. The other can be at times felt like a bit of a negative, and right there, there's nothing negative. He's a meat and potatoes guy.
There you go. All right.
If you make a good, it is, some people think it's easy to make a steak. It is hard to make a really good steak. And for me, if Colin White is making a good steak, that's an MVP in my house. All right, and I will hang out with, I will quarantine with you. I don't care if it's for 2 weeks, steak and mashed potatoes. As long as that steak is good, it cannot be a hockey puck. It cannot be well done. Don't do that. I need a nice medium rare, lightly seasoned. We'll rock and roll.
Okay. All right.
No problems.
A good garlic mash?
Oh, yes, sir. You got to roast that garlic, though, in the oven with a little olive oil. Give that 15 minutes.
A little veg on the side?
Yes, but not soggy, crisp, crunch. Okay.
Got to nice be quarantined with a barbecue and probably a nice selection of red wine. Okay? That's probably what you're looking at now.
Right? Now we're expanding our social footprint. We're back out now. Now we're going to the grocery store. Now we're back to the
Hammer
store.
And Hammer probably has the ability to sit down with these young fellas and go head-to-head with a little video game action as well.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
Speaking of that, and again, into the virtual world, that I think that NASCAR started. They've just finished up week two on Sunday, and I haven't seen the ratings for this past weekend, but I know they were unexpectedly good for the first go around. So this is where you had NASCAR current guys and some Hall of Famers like Dale Earnhardt all participating, and it sort of lends itself. Some of these guys have simulators in their house, which are unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah.
$40,000 simulators. Some guys are just playing on their their desktop computer. But regardless, it got a lot of NASCAR fans interested, so they've rolled that out. Well, Yahoo Sports is now reporting that beginning as early as Friday, the NBA is going to do the same. They're going to have players on NBA teams do this virtual NBA 2K. I don't know if they're going to finish out the season or whether they're going to have a tournament or how it's actually going to happen, but it's going to be televised on ESPN. So we're going to see NBA players play NBA 2K, the video game, on your television, and I don't know.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah,
I'd want to watch that because you know what? For athletes that are so enclosed and worry about opening up and saying the wrong thing, when they're taking on each other and you get lost in the moment of competition in a video game, I think there's going to be some interesting things said. I think there's going to be some pretty good trash talk. And I would love to see the NHL do the same thing and playing NHL 20 with a lot of their stars, too. I think it'd be really entertaining.
Well, we've seen the popularity of esports, right? I mean, yeah. anybody who's got, or not not even sports in particular, right? Anything that is done, like there are kids on YouTube making hundreds of thousands of dollars that people are watching them do whatever,
it's,
right?
Yeah. Fortnite!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Watching them play, watching other people play electronic sports.
I see it in my house when I get home.
So that can't help but say to me, well, if we're talking about so-called famous, athletes themselves doing it, there has to be a market for that among fans.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, the difference, of course, with the race car is a simulator of being in the car. So you're physically driving. It's not necessarily the athlete playing kind of in his own body, but still, you have the ability. And years ago, when it was Madden football, they used to have the Madden bus, and that was a big show in the United States where this was more important. It was the average person had the ability to go against a star player. And that's the real, I think, if you had your average Joes, a little dodgeball reference there, had five guys on one side against five NBA players, I would think the appetite for that would be tremendous, that they'd want to have that chance to go head to head and have some fun and broadcast it. But as I said, for the race car portion, almost like you see with some of the jet fighters and the simulators, that would take it to another level if I had the ability to be in the race, right? You picked five guys that, you know, had qualified, that you felt were high end to really feel like you were racing against the best of the best. I think that's a little advantage for the car guys.
Yeah, I like to see some the average some other athletes kind of cross platforms, like Craig Anderson going into the NASCAR race, because we know he's a massive race and simulator guy, and there's no doubt in my mind he's done something like this and has got a history with it. So I'd love to see him go up against the Dale Earnhardt Juniors and seeing how he can compete against them and against other pros.
Yeah. I think the only for me, and listen, I'm not sure I would. I might watch it for a little bit. I'm not sure it would keep my attention for too long a time. One thing that I think would help is I just don't need to see like the video game on my television screen. I need to see the guy actually. I need to see them as well, whether it's, you know, tucked up in the top corner or whatever, or whatever. I don't know how you'd do it in terms of a television screen or a computer screen, but I need to see them actually playing the game too. That's part of the enjoyment.
I think it's just creative editing. You can't do it live because it would be too hard to go from player to the screen, player to the screen. I think you just... You record it, you do some editing where they're talking trash, there's a big play, boom, you go to the play for 5 seconds. But I 100% agree. I'd love to see just the players going at it, and they can't share the couch, but you can see a nice split screen of them reacting to each other.
Well, and that's what the Madden bus was, right? And you had all the smack talk going into it. And you think about James Harden, I think was on the ad yesterday, how much you're going to get that he never wants to pass the ball. I'm assuming if he's playing himself, right? Like you're the other four guys, you're like, okay.
I'm open.
My joystick's ready. Send me some joy.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so we'll wait to hear some perhaps some further details, maybe as soon as today on that. But again, that could launch as early as Friday on ESPN. Again, NBA stars and or non-stars in some cases, but playing NBA and NBA 2K tournament. This also came out yesterday. This was interesting from the NCAA. They have announced that for spring athletes, so baseball would be one sport that's played in the spring, you know, on NCAA campuses. They've announced that those players, those athletes, are going to be allowed to return for what I guess becomes a de facto fifth season, because their season didn't even get started. They debated and decided against doing the same for the winter sports. So basketball and hockey, for instance, athletes who are in their senior season will not be allowed to come back. What do you think of that decision?
I think it's perfect, and there was no reason for. And when you look at football, when you look at basketball, a lot of those kids, or many, had been redshirted. So as a senior, you're already into year five. Even if it's a scholarship, mom and dad, depending on the cost, or if you have to pay a little bit into year six. Now, if you plan properly and you can stay there for your undergrad for 6 years, good for you. But I like this. And for the spring sports, it's been taken away. There's no control for them. And for a lot, they need the fifth year to graduate. But just like we saw with the Olympics, if you had a hell of a senior class and you had a great lacrosse team, which is a real nice fall sport for men and women in the United States, especially on the East Coast, I think this makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. What is interesting, though, and I just see some feedback, and it's mostly anonymous at this point, of a lot of college coaches, though, who are saying it's going to create, and they've got the recruits coming in for next season as well, right? It's going to create an unwieldy number of athletes that are on these respective teams.
Yeah, that's very interesting, because that is the constant rollover, right? And I would say most college programs, in a perfect world, if you have a four-year athlete or program, you basically say for a hockey team, you want five or six kids a year graduating, right? You're turning it over.
Right.
And also financially, if these are scholarship athletes, I would assume that each of the schools has to be on for paying an extra five or six, which in the United States, for a athlete that could be idle, we're talking about anywhere between $50,000 and $75,000 U.S. So certainly more of a financial commitment to the schools as well.
Yeah, and which some schools, especially smaller schools, are saying, look, that becomes too cost prohibitive. So there is a fund that they can dip into, put together by the NCAA to help in part to pay for this, but they don't think it's going to be able to, for some schools at least, to cover a significant portion or all of the cost. And for some of these schools, and you know, we're not talking about the Ohio States States of the world. We're talking about places that we don't even know exist, because there's hundreds, there's thousands and thousands of schools that have these sports programs, for some of them, it becomes cost prohibitive as well.
It really does. And take it back and relate it here in Ottawa to, say, Carleton and Ottawa U, because when people look at that, they say, oh, these schools are rich. It doesn't matter how small they are. Hey, if you're at Ottawa U or at Carleton, it's five or six students that you could get to pay a tuition to come into your school. So you have to reach into your pocket. And the other story that came out last week I thought was interesting, and everyone gets into the debate about, you know, should college athletes make money? Well, really, it's just football. Some basketball, of course, as far as likeness. But for some of the college programs, very nervous that in most of the big programs, and you just touched on Ohio State, the men's football program, anywhere between 80 and 90% of all revenue as far as scholarships for other athletes are brought in by the football program. I mean, it is a mega engine to fuel a lot of these other athletes to go to school for free and to play their favorite sport.
All right. So, again, the news continues to evolve. Most of it in terms of stuff like that. I mean, I guess in a roundabout way, that's a bit of a positive for you know, senior athletes. And again, baseball being the one spring sport, I think, that immediately comes to mind that they will be back and allowed to play for another season. But for the most part, it is more about postponements and cancellations. I think we told you yesterday that Wimbledon will announce tomorrow that they are going to cancel this year's tournament, not postpone it, but cancel it altogether. We also found out yesterday that CFL training camps will not open. No big surprise, as expected in mid-May. I mean, they've got a question that half their team is made up of Americans who can't even cross into Canada at this point. So that's totally up in the air as to when that might get started. You know, what are we going to see? Are we going to see a two-week camp, no exhibition games, right into a regular season, if and when that can start? So that's the CFL conundrum. And here locally, closer to home, speaking of big events that they've announced are canceled, Ottawa Race Weekend announced officially yesterday that the event normally held in the last weekend of the month of May is officially canceled as well. We're hoping to connect with the executive director of that to talk about, well, the decision and what it might mean going forward for the future of the race. We'll hopefully get into that next hour. So we'll take a break right now, get you the latest on the COVID-19 outbreak and a terrible piece of news out of Barrhaven with an overnight fire as well with fatalities. So we'll get you an update on all of that from 580 CFRA on the way. And then when we come back, we will talk some hockey. Pierre McGuire will join us when we return. It is a Tuesday morning and you are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.